And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. Wow, it's Expository Thursday.
Expository Thursday.
As we work together to know the letter better. Do you like that little echo thing I do? A little Expository Thursday.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, it's different. I know. As we work together to know the letter better, into the narrative of the book of Acts, we travel to understand the things the Lord requires of us as we learn to apply God's timeless truths in our lives. First, the next step in the book of Acts is Paul traveling to a different area. Here's the key. He doesn't have a travel company that books his flights on Travelocity. But he does have a travel agent, and that would be the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit tells Paul where to go because the Holy Spirit tells people where to go. He did it in the Old Testament, he did it in the New Testament, and he does it now. That's how people move into ministry in the kingdom of God, or how they become missionaries or pastors. If the Holy Spirit tells us to go somewhere and do something, then we go and we do. Because if not, then we're disobeying God. Next, when you read the book of Acts, you kind of find out that Paul's got a lot of charismatic in him. While he's in another location, he has a vision. Now, what's the difference between a vision and a dream? The simplest answer is a vision is a dream while you're awake. So does God still give visions today? Does he still give dreams today? Only if you believe that God fulfills his prophecy. He continues to fulfill his prophetic word in pouring out his Holy Spirit on the sons and daughters and on his children, according to the book of Acts and according to Joel. Finally, now we come to Lydia, the seller of purple from Thyatira. This woman is, in fact, truly amazing. She is already a worshiper of God, but wants more. And the Lord gives it to her. She accepts the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. She becomes a believer, but we get to see that the Lord uses her gifts immediately for his kingdom. Now she's twisting Paul's and the gang's arms in order to get them to hang out at her house. True manipulation, genuinely used by God. She didn't quit until she got her way. Hint, hint.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Remember, this is not professional radio. We've told you that all the time. It's just radio. And we're asking you, what do you think? You can email us during the show, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us live during the show, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. Now, when you make that phone call, you'll end up talking to Dynamite D.
Hello, lucky person. You got the number right, because you are talking to Kid Dynamite.
All right, now watch this one. Talking to Dynamite D is like when you're nice to somebody and you go the extra mile, and then somebody immediately is nice to you and goes the extra mile.
That's always a blessing, Dave.
Isn't that great? I mean, I just had this happen where I went the extra mile, and he just turned around and blessed me right back.
Wow.
It was, like, so cool. And so what we want you to do is be aware of this. Look, this is not a perfect show.
It's not?
No.
I thought it was almost perfect.
No, no, no.
Not even close?
No, 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 no. Here's the deal. I got a ton of wrong with me, okay? Just so you guys can all know. I'm so tired of the whole, you know, what people do is they when you hear people, when you hear pastors, you know, their influence is good, and it's profound, and you know it's the Holy Spirit's working through. But then you get to meet them personally. You go to their house, or you go, you know, to a game with them, or you go do something. Then you find out they're a real human. And it's like, look, we're all in this together. There is only one king and one superstar. His name is Jesus Christ, and there is nothing else. So our goal is to encourage one another, for all of us to draw closer, myself included, draw closer to the Lord one step at a time, one inch at a time. I don't care if it's 1 centimeter at a time, just going in the right direction. When I first played golf, the one thing that I heard, and I don't play very much anymore, but when I first played, the only rule I had ever heard in golf was just move the ball forward.
Never picture you playing golf, Dave.
Yeah, it wasn't pretty. Most of you guys don't know who Daryl Hardy is, but he was a football player. I played golf with him, and I said, well, I'm not very good. And he goes, Paul, everybody's fine. Just play. And I hit the ball, and I hit the tee, or not hit the tee. I hit the box in between it, and it went farther than the ball.
Wow.
And he turned to me and goes, hey, you're right. Yeah, I got to learn to laugh at these things. It's just what happens. So the bottom line is, maybe you've got a prayer request or a praise report. Maybe you got something going on and you just need the fellowship. You just need people to join you in faith, or you got something you want to share. You don't have to do it great. You don't have to share. I have to share this perfectly. No, you don't. You don't make it do anything anyway. The Lord makes it do something. You just share it. Give the Lord the opportunity to use that to bless somebody, or give other people the opportunity to join their faith with yours and go after something before the Lord. That's what we're talking about, okay? We also do Bible trivia because it keeps people a little sharper in the Word of God, I think. It helps me on a regular basis. I hope it helps you. Here is the next trivia question, and this one, the second one of the show, is always the easiest. In what chapter of the Bible describes the beginning of the universe in the most detail?
It's like a freebie.
That is a freebie. In what chapter in the Bible does it describe the beginning of the universe in the most detail? What chapter in the Bible? Not one book. What chapter? So you see, you got to listen, because that's one of those things. I just think about what chapter describes the beginning of the universe. See how I said that? Universe, not the planet, in most detail. 972-445-0770. Also, you can text in 214-210-8483. Also, you can send an email to David@hemustincrease.org. So a couple things to tell you on the website. I already told you about Tanya coming in a week from tomorrow. Talked to you about Murphy Road Baptist Church. Please be praying for one another. You still have June Buddies going on, and we're only at June 8th. Is it June 8th? Yes, June 8th. So you got to pick somebody either from a fill, or somebody who calls in, or somebody you've heard from before, and just pray for them. Make that your June Buddy that you pray for. It's really important that we do that together. All right? Okay. There's a lot going on, huh? All right, let's get into the text. I'm really hoping that this will bless you. It's kind of a classic portion of Scripture, as long as I have the right place and we're kind of in the right thing. Here we are in Acts chapter 16. And as you know, Paul and Silas have gone in one direction, and then Barnabas went with Mark. They went in another direction, so we're kind of picking it up after that whole process. We're in Acts chapter 16. Make sure you get that. 16, verse 1. Paul and Silas went first to Derbe and then on to Lystra, where they met Timothy, a young disciple, whose mother was a Jewish believer but whose father was a Greek. Timothy was well thought of by believers in Lystra and Iconium, so Paul wanted him to join them on their journey. In deference to the Jews in the area, he arranged for Timothy to be circumcised before he left, for everyone knew that his father was a Greek. So what I want you to do is understand something about Paul and his traveling. Okay, it's really, really important. Because what you need to catch is when you go from place to place in the kingdom of God, there's not always a Western Union gram that comes to your house and that you open it up and go, oh, look, this is where the Lord wants me to go. This is why it's superbly, superbly important for us to stay closely connected to the Lord, because there may be somewhere he wants us to go and something he wants us to do in the kingdom. So I want you to take a quick look and just look at this. It's so cool. In verse 6, just going to skip you for a little bit. Next, Paul and Silas traveled throughout the Phrygia, whatever, then Galatia, because the Holy Spirit told them. Another stop. What I'm trying to say to you is the Holy Spirit gives direction. Have you ever met somebody that said, I felt called into the ministry? Have you ever felt called into a ministry? Right? Did you read that? Or did the Holy Spirit pour upon you and go this way? When you went to the church that you went to and you, in your heart and your mind and your being, you were like, this is the right place. Did you read that in the Bible, or was it the Holy Spirit affirming and confirming the direction and the steps that you take? I'm not doing this to charismata you. I'm not doing this to Pentecostal you or Baptist you or anything. What I'm trying to do is make the reality of what Scripture teaches us a part of our daily walk. You acknowledged and accepted by faith Jesus Christ into your heart. Then the Holy Spirit took up residency. And he leads and guides and testifies to the redeeming work of Jesus Christ on a regular basis if we listen. What happens, of course, is that we don't always, what's the word I'm looking for? We don't always do a lot of that. So what I want you to get, or what I'm trying to pull out of this, or what I'm trying to teach you, is that we need to have a sensitivity to be led by the Lord. Have you ever done this? And tell me if you've ever experienced this in your life. And I'm just sharing. I know the Lord is using this for somebody. Have you ever struggled to make a decision and you were resistant and you were like, right? And the Lord kept pushing you. He didn't smack you yet, pushing you. And then when you yield, all of a sudden you go, well, I should have done this months ago. You know what I'm saying? Like you almost know, well, this was actually just me being rebellious because God was moving this way and I just didn't want to do it. And it's like that, this is that whole process. This is the walk of the Christian. This is the walk of engaging with God. The Lord wants us to engage with him in such a way and will lead us and guide us. And then sometimes we're like, oh, and the Lord's going, go that way. And you're like going, no. And you're like, go that way. And you're like, no. And then you go that way and you go, I can't believe I didn't go here before. I wonder how many thousands of people just heard that went, hey, he's reading my mail. I know, because I do, not because I'm spiritual or smart. Don't, it's never that way. It's because I do this. I do the exact same thing. I tell the Lord, no, do this. Just like Peter, not like Peter because, you know, he's an apostle, but like Peter, get up and eat. And he's like, no, like in the vision. And God says, get up and eat. And he goes, no. And God says, get up and eat. He goes, well, I'm not supposed to. God said, get up and eat. He said, okay. And all that had to do with God teaching him that the Gentiles were to come in mass. And it's just like, but he was so resistant. Yeah.
Dave, I wonder, because we're walking by sight instead of faith, or is it something else?
That is a part of it. So walking by faith becomes harder because everything we do is in that natural observation, and then we're concerned about how other people perceive it or how people close to us perceive it and so on and so forth. If the Lord told you to go on a missions trip, would you go? This is a... My family would
be... Or would you get scared?
Like, my family would be like, have you lost your mind? It's like... What if the Lord told you to go? Okay. All I'm trying to do is point out that we have to have this yes, Lord attitude. And then when we do, and you know, and you do it, it's like, wow, what took me so long? That's all we're talking about. All right. Let me answer the trivia question. So I tried to keep this really easy. Some people got a little complex in the answer. It was straightforward. In what chapter of the Bible describes the beginning of the universe in the greatest detail, and that would be Genesis chapter 1. So for everybody who's looking at all these different other places, no, Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. It's like several verses. Okay.
Freebie.
You'd be surprised. All right, we'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad. A couple things I think we'll open up with. I've decided to open up with a story that I wasn't going to open up with because it's such an outrageous story. But it's not an outrageously super bad story. It's an outrageously super dumb story. There's a big difference. Bad is when I tell you, which I'll be telling you probably in the next segment, how the federal government is creating a database to track down hate speech as they define it.
That's bad.
We'll talk about that a little bit. This is dumb, but it's funny dumb. Dumb, ha-ha, funny, but not entirely. Get this. Now, I'm holding a picture in my hands. You can't see it. But there are four monkeys in this picture that I'm holding. And the headline reads this. Millions in taxpayer money used to study drunken monkeys. No, really. Drunken monkeys. And you're thinking, no, you're making that up. Nope. Federal government reportedly has spent $3.2 million so far in order to get monkeys drunk in order to study the effect of alcohol on the monkeys. I don't know. See, I don't know where you're even going to go. Where are you going to go with this?
I'm going nowhere, Dave.
There's no...
I got nothing to
say. There's no comment that anybody can make.
The David Spoon Experience.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Please remember to pray for Dynamite D, Don, and Jennifer. That would bless me if you would do that. By the way, D, I don't know if I told you this or not, but the thing that I got for you just came to our house a few minutes ago, so I'll bring it in tomorrow.
I was wondering, did it come?
Yeah, it did not arrive on time, but that's, you know.
Well, God's always on time.
Yeah, the Lord, he has his purposes. Let's do our triv. Right now, folks, I'm multitasking. Noelle is having a little problem with the car, so I'm dealing with that, plus we're having a problem with something else. But you can't really tell, can you?
Multitasking, and nothing's ever perfect, like you said earlier, Dave, and I think that's a fascinating point. You know, we talk this word, but we still go through a lot of these just normal, natural boo-boos.
Every single day. Like, when that truck decided to drive in front of me with only 1 inch to spare. And while I was praying, so I wasn't really permitted to give my full vent of flesh at the moment. You know what I'm saying? All right, great. Anyway, here's your next trivia question. In what chapter in the Bible? This is a chapter in the Bible. What chapter in the Bible talks about everything that has breath praising the Lord. There's a verse in the Bible, or it's in this chapter. Where is that located? Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Okay, there you go. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483, or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Somebody is calling in and is ready to give the trivia answer. Let us go ahead and have them come through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
David, it's Jay. I'm kind of stabbing at it a little bit this morning, but I think it's Genesis 4 where it created.
No, wait. I can barely hear you. So you might want to turn, if you got Windows.
Oh, wait a second. I'm sorry. Somehow I've got you on speaker.
Okay.
Anyway, it just hit me that it was kind of a tricky thing. Isn't it chapter 4 of Genesis where he created man?
No, but that's a great guess. So, I mean, that's a really good job. But here's what I want you to do, okay? I want you to think. It's a passage that says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. It's a big praise chapter. It's in the Psalms.
Oh. Yeah, I'm way off base.
That's okay.
Well, I'll listen and learn something.
All right, you got it, brother. Okay, God bless you. Okay, I don't know if we got disconnected.
Well, I didn't know it was a lot going on with Brother Jay. I couldn't barely hear it.
That's okay. I mean, this is part of it. This is why I love live radio. I don't know why. This is like life, isn't it? All right, so the trivia question, see if you can get this right. Now, listen, you guys are, some people are missing this, okay? It says, let everything that have breath praise the Lord. So I want you to think about it. I already told you in the Psalms. You got a 1 in 150 shot. Is that, what do I say? More than a football field, less than 2 football fields.
Pretty good if I'm thinking what you're thinking.
I hope so. All right. You guys can't get it. I thought these would be a little easier. Okay, that's my fault then. I got to do a better job. That's my fault. But we're going to go back into the text because we got lots to teach and lots to do. So let's take care of this. I want you to kind of move with me a little bit, and we're going to move up to verse 6. Nope, 7. Nope, 8. Verse 8 in Acts chapter 16. This is verse 8, and it says the following. So instead, they went through Mysia in the city of Troas. That night, Paul had a vision. He saw a man from Macedonia in northern Greece pleading with him, come over here and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, for we could only conclude that God was calling us to preach the good news there. I just want to point that out. Now, I don't know if you got your which version do you have, ESV or
got the ESV today, Dave.
Okay. So what does it say in the last from verse 10?
And when Paul had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them.
Okay. Now I read this and see, I love these kind of things. So just bear with me, right? So they're being directed by the Holy Spirit. You see in the verses upwards, the Holy Spirit said, don't go here, go here, don't go here, go there. And that is how the Holy Spirit, that's why sometimes you do something and the Lord goes, no. Okay, that's that. He didn't give you a neon sign, but he gave you an inward neon sign. It's like, no, okay. And if you're not sure about that, then just look at 2 Corinthians 13:14, where it says we're supposed to have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and that'll help you. And I'm not emphasizing the Holy Spirit over the Son or the Father. So don't get weird. It's the fullness. We're supposed to be in relationship with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's God Almighty. And how I help people with the Trinity and a lot of that is I think of myself as David, right? But I have a brain, a heart, and a body. Those are 3 components. All of them are David in separately and yet together. Okay, anyways, that's just how I do it. So it's just one of those little things. So he has a vision. A vision is like a dream in the day. It's not a daydream per se, but it's close if you're trying to figure it out. And in it, there's a guy, and he's in Macedonia saying this, come over here. come over here. Although he probably had a good accent. Come on over here. Come over this way. Here. Over here this way. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, concluding, that's what the ESV says, right? We can only conclude, that's what this translation says, and here's what I want to point out. Really? You concluded that the Lord wanted you to go there when Paul had a vision that said, come over here, right? And you had to get to the point where, you know, well, I had this vision where this guy said, come over here to this location at this Jack in the Box. And then the other person goes, maybe we should go to that Jack in the Box. Like, really?
That's very interesting.
It's like it took that to get there. And it's like sometimes the Lord gives you the absolute clearest possible direction in the world. And you know what you do? You got to go, well, I think this is right. I don't know. And what's funny about that is there's supposed to be a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. And when we're walking with him, we're supposed to follow the wisdom of God. That all that, I agree with all that. Here's the thing. And then sometimes God makes it so plain. And you know what we do? We go, you sure?
Just being human.
You know, well, here's the thing. The thing is, when we pray for, and I know nobody has ever prayed for a sign. I know that. Okay. All right. So when you pray for a sign and then the Lord gives it to you, you know what you do? Well, I need a sign to prove that that sign was real. Well, just be honest about it. Because you're not exactly sure. Even though God makes it just so clear. Like here, he has this vision. Hey, Paul, meet me at 24th Street and Indian School at the corner with the red porch right by the step. And he tells that to everybody. And they all go, well, we concluded that. Just go. I mean, and I'm not saying that to give these guys a hard time, but what I'm saying is we do this too. You have to see it, and then you have to make the decision. Oh, yeah, that's right. We should go there. And I love, actually, that this is in Scripture because it helps me understand that when I fail to recognize the guidance of the Lord, and that is absolute, I'm not the only Christian that goes, you sure? Is this you? This is what we go through. Does that make sense?
And these guys were, quote unquote, like giants in the faith. That should put it in perspective, Dave.
I think what I'm trying to communicate is it's normal to go, now, Lord, yes, you did give me a telegram in this case and specific instructions and directions, but I just want to make sure. Now, Gideon did that same thing, so I don't think it's that bizarre, right? Let there be water on the fleece dry, and then the water on the ground or dew on the ground. Then after he got that, he said, okay, let's reverse it. See? Because he needed another sign to confirm the first sign. Now, it wasn't a sin. It's not a sin to ask for the Lord to affirm a direction you're going, because this wasn't about the messiahship of Jesus Christ. This is about trying to find the direction that God wants you to go. That's completely different, okay? But I love this part of Acts because it's like it's so human. It's like the Holy Spirit goes, don't go here, go here, don't go here. And then when it's super obvious, they're like, well, we figured it out.
We think it was God.
You just got to get the flavor of the humanity that's in the framework of the Scripture. It's about us walking with God. Okay, all right. The psalm that I was referring to is Psalm 150, which says, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. That's the chapter that I was looking for. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo, nothing but a receipt at year end indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously, or in Proverbs where it teaches that a generous person will prosper. Whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
What kind of call is that? Wrong.
What can you do?
Well, you recognize as your brother that just hearing you say that I hoodwinked you is, of course, satisfaction for me alone. So it's not like I need something beyond that. I think that works for me. And it's on the air and it's recorded. Back to the dust with thee.
The David Spoon Experience.
Who is David Spoon? I have no idea. People have asked me about the David Spoon Experience. They wanted to know what I thought of him. Like any person searching for answers, I have wondered about him. He was born and raised Jewish, and after intense drug use, became a Christian. He's married to his best friend Noelle, has 3 children, 6 grandchildren, and a dog named Bert. He has 3 separate ordinations from 3 different denominations, and is a summa cum laude for his BA degree in ministry and leadership, as well as a master's degree of theological studies, and has his doctorate of strategic Christian ministry. He has a weird sense of humor and talks a lot. If people are seeking wisdom and insight from the great teachers around the world, would they go to David? No, I don't think so. And those big ears really don't help him. But would they enjoy his perspective on life, culture, politics, food, sports, local and national news? I don't know. I guess people will have to listen to find out.
You're here when I need you the most, when I need you the most. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where this is just one wild show right here. This is like, right?
Little wow, little wacky.
You know, yesterday's show was really, really good. Yeah. Really devotional.
So this was really needed.
Yeah,
though.
So I need a little balance. I need a little bit of relax it, okay? So just in case you're wondering. So I just like that. This is how I am. It's like, you know, when you go, if you've ever gone to a conference or anything, and then you go through the conference, and it's just like you're so spiritually jazzed, and then about 2 days later, you're feeling like really blue because you're not quite as high up. You know. It's kind of, it's like everybody goes through this stuff. All right. Here's our next trivia question. You guys ought to get this because this is pretty easy, I think. In what chapter of the Bible is the armor of God described in the greatest detail? Okay. In what chapter of the Bible is the armor of God described in the greatest detail? Okay. New Testament, a Pauline letter. I'm trying to help everybody. Okay. If you think you know the answer, what is our number? 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. So you guys are familiar with the armor. Put on the armor of the Lord. What chapter in the Bible is that? Now, the reason that I say that is because there's another portion that makes reference to about a fourth. And so I'm trying to make sure you understand I'm looking for the one that gives the most detail, okay? The most detail about putting on the armor of God. Where is that? It's a Pauline epistle, a letter from Paul, and it is the first one that came to your mind because that's going to be the right one. 972-445-0770. You can also text 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemusincrease.org. We're going to send you up to the website. There's just cool stuff on there, different stuff on there. Cool. There's challenging statements. I'm not one that pulls back on scriptural references, as you guys probably know. The bottom line is that the Word of God is the Word of God, and Revelation chapter 3, verse 19, Jesus said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So everybody's talking about the love of God should at least read that verse. That's just my take on it. It's right there on the website. Check out hemustincrease.org.
Prayer request?
Hemustincrease.org.
Praise report?
Hemustincrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
Hemustincrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
Hemustincrease.org.
Hemustincrease.org.
Kind of like the show.
Exactly.
A little bit like the show today. We are going to do history because we didn't do history yesterday, although we'll probably not end up doing the jokes. We'll probably do those tomorrow. So let's play history as we get ready.
Let's go live big in the past. Let's go live big in the past.
All right, today is National Ups and Daisy Day.
Meaning?
Get up. Ups and Daisy. It's now watch this. This is a pretty good one. It's Jelly-Filled Donut Day.
Ooh, I can get you in trouble right there.
Yeah, that's trouble right there. I've been doing pretty good. Had a couple of small laughs.
Little hiccups.
Nothing bad. But a Jelly-Filled Donut Day sounds pretty good right now. Today is Best Friends Day. My best friend is my wife, Noelle. There's nobody better. We have more fun just staying in the same room doing whatever. We just don't even care.
What a blessing.
Yeah, I mean, that's the best part of all of it. On this day in 1786, the first commercially produced ice cream was advertised. An ad appeared in the New York Post Boy newspaper for the first commercially produced ice cream. The ad read, "Ladies and gentlemen may be supplied with ice cream every day at the city tavern by their humble servant, Joseph Cow." Isn't that amazing? This day, 1789, James Madison introduced the Bill of Rights. And then also on this day in 1949, 1984, the book by George Orwell was first published. If you've never read it, I'm not going to give you the cliff notes, but you should read it because you'd be amazed how accurate this book is in regards to governmental structure, which was written 70-plus years ago.
Dave, I was taking a call. What book was that?
That's 1984 by George Orwell.
That's a classic.
That's a classic. You got to know that. I mean, that is just like, that's kind of thing. Like, he saw what was coming and said, okay, we do have somebody ready to answer a trivia question. Let's send him on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Hello?
You there?
Hello? Who am I talking to?
Hello?
Hi, can you
Brother
hear me?
Roger again.
Hey, Roger, how are you? How are you?
Hello?
Can you hear me? Uh-oh, doesn't look like you can hear me. Can you hear me? Roger again. I know he's there. Hold
on. He's there.
Okay, turn down your radio, Roger, again. Did you get to turn it down? There you go. Can you hear me?
You ready?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Want me to try again?
Yeah. Why don't you call back and try again?
Let me try again.
Okay. All right, we're going to try it again. Roger again is going to call back again so he can try again because, you know what, sometimes you got to do things again. That's why you have to do it that way. That's why it's Roger again. Let's see how that works. Okay. See if he's going to call back. Did we get it this time? Do we think we have it this time? We did have some problems with the phone. Ready this time? Okay, let's fire away. Let's send them on through. No, now it's not working. Okay. Tell you what. I'll go into the text, teach it, and then you go from there. All right? Here we are in Acts chapter 16, verse 13. It says, "On the Sabbath, we went a little way outside the city to a riverbank." This is Acts chapter 16, verse 13. Where we supposed that some people met for prayer. And we sat down to speak with some women who had come together. One of them was Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God, and she listened to us, and the Lord opened her heart, and she accepted what Paul was saying. So let's stop right there. I want to talk about this, and I want to address a little bit of an issue that does exist in the church. I don't know why it exists. Verse 13, on the Sabbath day, we went a little way outside the city of the riverbank where we supposed that some people would be meeting for prayer. We sat down to speak with some women who had come together. The idea that women should not gather together for a Bible study because they do whatever is the dumbest non-biblical idea that's come out in a long time. These women here in this city met together to talk and to pray. That's been going on for 2,000 years. So any denomination that kind of is like, well, women shouldn't do that, is not reading their Bible. Sorry. The bottom line is they got together for prayer, and while Paul was there meeting with them, it wasn't a women's only exclusive meeting, he talked with them and shared with them the gospel. And here we go with Lydia from Thyatira, a merchant of expensive purple cloth. You know what she was doing? High-end stuff. High-end sales. I mean, high-end. Purple was it's kind of like the caviar of clothes. And she was a person who was a merchant in the expensive purple stuff. She loved the Lord. And she listened. And look at what the verse says. As she listened, what happened? What happened as she listened? What does the ESV say as she was listening? Now, if you're there, you could just read it.
What
go with verse, you can really just go with verse 14.
Verse 14 says, one who heard us was a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira.
Thyatira.
A seller of purple goods who was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to pay attention to what was said by Paul.
So that's good. Stop right there. Who opened her heart? Who did that? Was it the great fancy presentation? Was it the multimedia event? Was it the power slide? Was it the PowerPoint? Was it the way the band played? No. It's the Lord that opens hearts. Nobody opens hearts but God. You see, that's the whole premise. Paul probably was phenomenal at proclaiming the gospel. At this point, he's been doing it for years and years and years. He could probably do it, you know, I mean, in his sleep, right? That wouldn't save Lydia. I couldn't save Lydia. You couldn't save Lydia. The best preacher, Billy Graham, couldn't save Lydia. The Lord opened her heart. Who did that? God. Who did that? God. And so when she heard, she accepted. Because God was moving upon her. So this is an encouragement for everybody who thinks that their family member or somebody they know very close to them is lost forever. Not necessarily. It might only take a moment from somebody just sharing one thing, one time in which the Lord opens that person's heart and their entire life changes.
You know what I love about Dave when I was reading that? He was a worshiper of God.
Yeah.
What beautiful is that?
Yeah, she got a great designation. Now, when we come back, we're going to deal with how she was a manipulator for God. I'm sorry, that's what the text says. So wait, can you wait a second? Okay, I do want to make sure that we know that the answer to the trivia question, Ephesians chapter 6, is the chapter on the armor of the Lord.
And hopefully Brother Roger Gigg can give us a call back. I'm sorry he wasn't able to get through.
Yeah, so Roger Gigg, you got to call back again so that we can have you on again so that we can do that again. Okay, great. All right, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want us to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham, in hope, believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not an impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment, God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew, it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to Scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the Scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, where we did get Roger again on the phone. And so we're going to put him through. I'm going to give him the new trivia question. Everybody be rooting him on. We're going to give it a try. Let's see if we can do this. Knock, knock. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock. Are you there?
Hello.
Are you there, Roger, again? Can you hear me now? Uh-oh. Can you hear me? Okay. That doesn't look like it's working.
He might just be in a bad area. We tried to do it again, but
it probably doesn't work out. Okay. All right. Here you go. Here's your last trivia question. What Bible chapter is known as the chapter of love? Heard at weddings around the world. What Bible chapter is known as the chapter of love? Which Bible chapter is that? If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Props to Joanne and Cordelia, 3 pow-pows today. Very nice ladies. Again, what Bible chapter is known as the chapter of love? You hear it at weddings all the time. Come on now, New Testament. Come on now. What Bible chapter? You guys should know this. Okay, just leave that there. Okay, I'm going to leave it there and go back into the teaching. This is the one reason I like this teaching is because Lydia is my kind of grandma. And you're thinking, why? Because listen to what happens after she accepts the Lord. She accepts the Lord. What does she do? Okay, pick it up. She accepted what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with other members of her household. So remember, baptism, a declaration of your faith, right? We've talked about it. You hear the fill all the time. It's not a joke thing, but when you go into the soteriology, you got to be careful. And then she's going to do something that we're going to respond to as soon as we take this call on the trivia question. Send it out through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Knock, knock, Dave. It's Jay. I got the right answer this time.
Okay, turn your radio down.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Is that better?
Yeah. And how we can always tell
Dave?
Is when... Yeah, can you hear me? Can you hear me?
Dave, you're there. Hello?
Okay, it's probably...
I can hear you, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Well, I'm not going to ruin it for everybody if you can't hear me.
I can hear you. Okay.
I turned my radio down and I lost it.
Okay. All right. We're going to have to cut it. We're having tech problems. Yeah, we're having tech problems on our end. So I apologize for everybody calling in. Okay? That's just not working today. Okay. I'll still give it at the end, but most people are getting it correct. Anyway, let's go back to this text here. So Paul was, she was listening to what Paul was saying. She was baptized along with the members of her household. I want to make sure you understand that baptism is an exceedingly important part of the entire process of salvation. And she asks them to be her guests. So here's what it says. She was baptized along with the other members of her household, and she asked us to be her guests. If you agree that I am faithful to the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we did. Listen to that text. So now, do we think it's going to work this time? We do. So let's send the person through. Go ahead. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to? Knock, knock. Nope, nope. Not there. Okay.
David.
All right, we'll just cut it. All right, that's fine. All right, so we'll get to the trivia question. Don't you love live radio? I do. All right, so here it is. She says to this, so she gets saved. She's saved. Okay? All right. Here you go. There you go. Now, you can get the trivia answer directly from him if you want to do that, T. That's one way to do it. Okay? Or D. So do that. All right, do that. She says, if you agree that I am faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home. Now, if you don't know what that is, that's called manipulation. If you agree that I am accepted by Jesus Christ, if you agree that I am faithful, you've got to stay at my home. You can tell they did not say yes right away because the scripture says, and she urged us until we did. She didn't quit pushing until Paul and Silas and Luke, for that matter, all said okie dokie. She didn't quit until she got her way. You know what this reminds me of? This reminds me of Jacob, who held on to the angel and said, I'm not letting go until you bless me. So look at the tenacity. Listen to the art of persuasion. She's baptized along with the other members of her household. And then she asks us to be guests of hers. If you agree that I'm faithful to the Lord, she said, come and stay at my home. And she urged us until we said yes, until we did. She wasn't letting go. Some of us who have a Christian faith let things go way too quick. Now, am I talking about, you know, things that have been going on for years and years? No, this is a in the moment situation where she just was like going, watch this, right? Stay at my home? You're going to stay at my home? You're going to stay at my home? You come stay at my home? You want to stay at my home? You should stay at my home. You think I'm faithful? You should stay at my house. You want to stay at my house? Stay at my house. You should stay at my house, right? Then eventually they all went, okay. Very persuasive. And she used that persuasion. Remember, she's a merchant. She knows how to, you know, work with people. And she just doesn't quit until they yield. Now, Lydia is an important person in the framework. Just think, why is she mentioned? Because they could have stayed at multiple houses. It shows you her tenacity, that character, is something that God appreciates. Even amongst us believers, tenacity is a great, great characteristic if used in the process of glorifying God, not if used just to be an annoying person. So I want to acknowledge that because this is like my heritage. This makes me think, this woman, she wouldn't take no for an answer. And there's times where, you know, you back off and I understand, but there's other times you don't quit. I can promise you, if I ever brought Noelle in here, and sat her down and interviewed her, I would just simply say, are there times where you say no and then I just keep persisting until, you know, it happens? She'd be like, 80% of the time. It's like, because that's a part of the process. And that's not always a bad thing, especially if it's kingdom-oriented. I mean, if it's fun stuff, it's fun stuff. That's fine. But what I'm really trying to say to you is simply this. Don't quit so quickly. Not talking about your relationships that have gone, you know, maybe off the rails. I'm talking about in the moment when you're dealing with something, don't just walk away and say, oh, well, that's the end of that. You know what I'm saying? Because that is not a good way to deal with stuff. All right. We only got 45 seconds.
Brother Jay said he wanted to be tenacious and try one more time.
Okay. We got 45 seconds. And this, we got 30 seconds. Put them on. Knock, knock. Jay, are you there?
Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not self-seeking. That comes out of 1 Corinthians 13.
That is correct, sir!
All about the Lord, our God, in heaven above.
Amen, brother. I hope you can hear me. Good job. Excellent work. Okay. All right. All right. We did our best we could. Let him know. Pick up the phone, Tom. Let him know. That was fun. forget it. We had a good time. I had a good time. Anyway, 1 Corinthians 13. Great job by Jay. Folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.